Thank you, Don. We're having a little technical difficulty, so I'm just going to pretend like I'm playing some nice music to start the show.
Ah, that is nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Holidays, right? It's soothing. Great. Love it.
Great,
it's really
start
nice.
Start to the morning, yeah.
You love the holidays, right? Nice to see you, Don. Did we fire Domati? Is he not working here anymore or what?
He did take a little trip, sounded like, to New York. He was talking to the guys on Outside the Loop before this, talking about what he's doing.
Nice. Very nice. Well, nice to have you here with us as well. Joe Brand, looking good, doing sports.
Thank you.
Wow. We got lots of sports coming up today. I walked in after being out to dinner last night and watched the Bulls win a game.
How about that, huh?
We left. My wife said, oh, we'll leave the Bulls game on, the dogs like to watch. I go, really? And right, literally we walk in and it was, you know, a few seconds left, and I see Lori Market and do a little spinorama and go in for the layup, and the Bulls pull off a win against OKC. OKC's pretty good, right?
Yeah, they are. And I mean, boy, only the fourth home win of the year. It's Jim Boylan's first win. Boy, do they need that. Boy, did they need that.
How about, we're going to the playoffs.
All right. You bringing your dogs?
They love the Bulls. They love the Bulls. So, anyway, it was nice to see them win a game. Hopefully, they can keep that going. It's surprising that they still, you know, that Bulls team still has a nice following.
Oh, yeah.
And I will argue that they do such a good job of entertaining the fans when you go to those games outside of just what's happening there. They do a really good job of entertainment.
Well, the crowds don't lie. I mean, how often do you go to the United Center for a Bulls game and it's somewhat of a scarce crowd, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they still put butts in the seats, so
right.
I mean, they're doing
right.
something right.
Right.
Benny is still the best mascot, I'm pretty sure, of any
absolutely,
professional sports.
Absolutely. And then what am I going to do about our Blackhawks?
That's a whole nother ball game.
It's just hard to watch.
It's difficult because you're trying to pull some silver linings out. I mean, the past couple of games have been decent. Every once in a while, the scoring is still there, and at least the past couple of games, they've been competitive games. But just that fire alone that they're missing is, boy, it seems like all that's in the rearview mirror.
I look at this team now when I watch these games, and I'm a fan, and I only want them to do well. I mean, look, I'm not a guy that, you know, says we got to win the cup every year, right? It's just not feasible. But there just seems to be zero identity,
right?
Like, I don't know, when I look at that team and you look at other teams and you're like, oh, they're really good at this, you know, they're really good at this. We're just not good at much,
right?
And you know,
well, I mean, how often are they giving up early leads? And it goes to a lot of their lack of depth defensively, because every time they do start to gain some momentum, they give up somewhat of a cheap goal.
Right.
And that's just kind of the recipe for disaster right there.
Oh, I just hope that whatever, you know, obviously these people know a heck of a lot more than me, so they can, and you still have some amazing talent on that team. They just got to kind of
pull the thing. You know, what do you do with that amazing talent? Do you hang on and try to improve around them, or do you go to that terrible word of rebuild?
Yeah. I don't know.
Spooky.
I don't know. All right, more to come. We have a couple of things coming up along with your phone calls today. Our Noodaloo 2, we have some gift ideas, and these are gift ideas that you can actually give with knowing that the products you buy give back. So that's kind of cool. Then we've talked with her before. Julie Yurko is the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank. It's their 35th anniversary, and they've been feeding America for a long time. It's a terrific nonprofit. You can imagine the need is always, but around the holiday time, the need is even larger. And so, and we're going to talk with them about how you can help out, make donations, and help feed some people this holiday season. And then, of course, we have our Benny's wine tasting coming up a little bit later on. Don keeps coming back because we keep coming up with the booze, and he loves wine in the morning, which is why. Domati's like, it can't work. And Don's like, I'll do it. Is there wine? So it's working out perfectly. That's coming up a little bit later on. Let's get to your phone calls. 312-981-7200. Bill is in Norwich. Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning. All right. Hold on. Bill. Don't go anywhere. Are you there, Bill? One more time. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you. How are you, Bill?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. How can I help you, sir?
I just have a question about an electrical panel. I think I need to get a bigger one because I've added a lot of circuits to this house, and I've got a 100-amp service right now. And if I add, say, a panel with, say, like 20 breakers in it, is 100-amp service going to be enough, do you think, or I have to go to, say, 200?
Well, when you say you've added a lot of circuits, the panel that you have right now, is it full with...
Yeah, it's full, yes.
...with regular breakers, or do you have some cheaters in there, too?
No, it's just the regular ones. Like, according to the village, you know, I need one for the microwave and
right.
the laundry area.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, I need, like, according to the electrical code with them, I need, like, six more. And I go...
You know, so the standard operator, now we're all putting in 200-amp services, but you could get away with a 100-amp service and adding what they call a side panel.
Right.
And, you know, if you've, so you have your 100-amp service, you could put a breaker to feed that side panel and put additional breakers in there, but, you know, you can't get more than 100 amps. That 100-amp service is where you got to balance that all out. How many more circuits do you think you need to add?
Well, I'm thinking like at least maybe six.
Yeah.
To make everything, you know, like they want, personally.
Right.
Yeah, you know, this house is like 68 years old, and I go, well, you know, this was here originally, and now, you know, as soon as you change something, they want you to change everything else.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your overall plan for the house, Bill? Are you going to stay there for X amount of years?
I've been here for quite a while now, and you know, I don't plan on moving right away.
So in the next 5 years, probably still be there?
Yeah, I just thought, if I have to sell this house someday, if I don't correct this now, I mean, I'd have to correct it later, and it'll just be more money later.
Correct. So that's my point, is that if you're needing to add more circuits, then it probably makes sense to upgrade the service to a 200-amp service.
Yeah.
Now you'll get a larger panel. You'll have more, amperage coming in. And when you go to sell, it's a non-issue. And really, quite frankly, if you're able to, you know, 5 or 6 years from now, you're going to sell the house. Oh, we updated the service 5 years ago. You know what I mean? That's an added value proposition. And then you benefit from the safer electrical system in your home. And,
right.
and you know, it, to your point is, it's going to be cheaper to do it now than it is 5 years from now.
Okay. Can I ask you, what's involved in changing it from 100 to 200? Does the drop from the pole to the house have to be changed?
Correct. So an electrician will come. That drop will, depending on the size of the pipe that's there, but more than likely they will put a new pipe in with the drop. There'll be a new connector from the meter panel to the new panel. So that all comes out, right? So you're going to be without power pretty much, while they're doing this changeover, and they coordinate it with the utility to come in there, or many times they may put the drop in right next to your panel and drill a different hole so that they can come and do that, and then they do all the wiring into that new panel.
Yeah, this sounds kind of pricey to have all that done, too, because I had somebody come in and give me a rough estimate. It was like going to be $1,500 just for a new panel, say, with about 20 breakers.
Yeah, the drop itself would probably cost you about $2,500.
And then
you got to do the panel. So it wouldn't surprise me if you're going to, spend in the neighborhoods of $3,000 to $4,000.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's the whole question of how you want to handle all this and do it the right way. Because, like you said, it's going to cost more money down the line if you wait. And I think that if you do this now, you're going to spend less money, and it's going to add value to the property long term. Bill, thanks so much for the phone call. Am I able to take a break? Yeah. All right. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't be the Christmas shopping season if the stores were any less hooter than they are, hotter than they are. Whew, it is warm in here.
Well, you have your coat on.
Yes. Oh, do I? How did that happen?
Because it's cold out.
Yes. this spit nipply out. I mean nippy out. What did I say? Nipple? There is a nip in the air, though.
Christmas, Christmas time is here, and Christmas songs you love to hear. Thoughts of joy and hope and cheer, but mostly shopping, shopping, shopping. Christmas, Christmas
welcome
time
back.
Is here.
That's one of my favorite readers.
I know you love that.
Because it makes you so uncomfortable.
It makes me so uncomfortable because, I don't know.
It's one of my favorite holiday movies
and you
ever.
Get a big smile on your face, and I'm like, ooh, should I be playing this?
Yeah, I don't know.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Bob Ferguson has moved us to a different studio as we figure out what's going on. But for you, that doesn't matter. This is a different view for us. I don't get to see the lakefront this morning, but that's great. We're happy to be here. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio here at WGN Radio. I had an opportunity to listen a little bit to the first Rowell yesterday. They were out at, I believe, in Palatine at Dirty Nelly's. It sounded great. Really a lot of fun. And they were raising, collecting toys for the Toys for Tots program, which is really great. So nice job to all concerned. That's a It's a big feat engineering-wise to get that all done, and it really did sound great. They had the Ides of March. It was really, really sounded great. I'm sorry that I wasn't be there. I couldn't be there. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and let's talk to Mario. Mario, you're on WGN. Good morning. Hold on. What are you telling me? I'm sorry. Marcy, you are on WGN Radio. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Lou, I love your show. I called before. You never steered me wrong.
All right, well, I'll try not to goof it up today. How can I help you?
Well, May 31st, I hired a contractor to come and replace the existing asphalt driveway.
Okay.
Shortly after that, they came, they dug it out, got rid of the old stuff, they put down the base, then they went away a little while, let it settle, and the time just went by. Every time they were supposed to come and put the asphalt down, it either rained or they were busy with some other job. Now they want to come and do it on Monday. You're in Chicago. You know what the weather's been like around here. I think it's too cold.
What's the weather going to be like on Monday?
A high temperature of about 35, maybe, with a low of 26.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, here's the thing. The base and everything of this has been set up, right? You've got the gravel down, they've tamped it all down, they've done all that?
Well, they did. They came this past Thursday and they put some more stone down. The guy said they were grading it.
Okay.
And then they want to come back on Monday to actually put the hot asphalt down.
Okay. That's fine. Don't worry about that. That kind of temperature is fine. It's hot in the truck. They'll put it down. They'll tamp it down. I'm more concerned with the base than anything else, Marcy. And, I mean, if you don't do it this coming week, then you're not doing it until March or April.
Right.
And I have no problem with them putting it down now. What I would talk to them about is ask them, the ground hasn't frozen yet, okay? So that's not a problem. That they come in and they tamp down the gravel that they just graded first, before they go ahead and put the asphalt down.
Okay.
Got it?
I got it.
Not going to steer, steer you wrong, Marcy.
Okay, thanks so much. I love your show. Have a great day.
Thank you. That's so nice of you to say. Thanks for listening. We'll take a quick break and get to Don and his news right after this.
This is House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini.
He's a lean, mean, pneumatic machine.
All natural, safe, and effective.
Actually, we run him at 220, 221, to, you know, whatever it takes.
Welcome back. 7:39 in the morning. House Smarts Radio here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. All right, now we'll go to Matt, who's in Hoffman Estates. Matt, you're on WGN. Good morning. All right, Matt, I'm going to give you one more try. Hey, you there, Matt? Hello, Matt? Matt, 3, 2, 1. We'll put Matt on hold, and let's try Craig.
Good morning, Lou. Long-time listener.
How are you, Craig? How can I help you?
I have a 16-year-old Whirlpool washing machine that my wife loves, but we've got to put in about $250 parts to get it to spin and agitate again. So we're wondering, and you're going to be the tie-breaking vote here, whether we should repair it or replace it with a Maytag that she's been researching, or a Speed Queen.
Okay. 16 years old, $250,
no-brainer.
However, the next thing to go is going to be the transmission. And that's $400. So now we're at
$650.
How much is that Maytag?
Well, I've got a deal for
$650. Thanks for calling, Craig.
Very good. Have a good day.
Appreciate you calling this morning. Sometimes, Ferguson said, sometimes the phones echo and sometimes they don't. And so we'll try Matt again and see if we can get Matt going. Hey, Matt?
Yes, Lou, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you for being so patient. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty. How can I help you, sir?
So my wife and I, we got some siding and roofing in the summer. And they were saying that the house is going to be just as warm, if not warmer, than it was before. I guess the wrap that they put on, I don't know if they tacked it in or taped it. What's the proper way for them to put that on before they put the vinyl siding on? And then they also didn't repair the drip edge on the roof, so they had to take off two rows of shingles after the roof was installed and put those back on. Is that good for my roof, or is that going to be an issue long term?
All right, let me start with your first question. With the building with the building wrap, typically that gets tacked on with a hammer stapler, or sometimes they use these nails called button caps. And typically you want to make sure that it overlaps, and there's a little bit of taping that will go on around windows and doors. You said you had the windows replaced as well?
No, just the roof. And the roof and the siding.
Oh, the roof and the siding. Okay. When they took the first two courses of shingles. Okay, so that's the building wrap. And the building wrap, Matt, is not really there to provide any more warmth. It's there to provide a wind break. And in particular with vinyl siding, because, you know, it's loosely affixed to a home. On a windy day, wind is going to get underneath that siding, and this is there to block it. Okay. Like a windbreaker for your home. It doesn't add any R value. Well, it does, but it's minimal that you wouldn't even know. But it isn't like adding insulation. The roofing, if they forgot to do the drip edge, but then they came back and took the courses of shingles off, and it all matches, right? They did it relatively quickly?
Yeah, it was done within maybe a month.
Okay. So,
but it doesn't seem like they're seating properly, like they sealed right.
Okay. You mean right at that moment? So when did they do that? Like a month ago?
No, it was done August.
Okay, well,
it was warm enough so tar should have stuck, right?
Yeah, it should stop. Are you seeing any shingles lifting?
There's some that are kind of buckling on the corners where they do the overlap where the...
Okay.
I don't know what the peaks are or whatnot.
Right. So I would have them come back and do that. From a standpoint of, is your roof compromised because of that? The answer is no. If it was done properly by a roofing contractor that, you know, is reputable, they can finger in new roofing underneath a newer roof like that. And really the fact that it's a newer roof makes that repair, it should be unnoticeable to you to see that. But if you're seeing a little bit of buckling here and there, then I would certainly point that out to them. Now, as far as the overall warmth of your home not being warmer, that's kind of a claim that they shouldn't be making, because it's really not. New siding will add aesthetic value to your home. The R value that it would add would be minimal. That you can certainly buy siding that has insulation on the back of it. I'm not a huge fan of that because I don't think it adds enough R value. How old is your home? Okay.
My home was built in the 50s, and they had the siding on there, but the aluminum siding, but it had, like, the cork board
right
in between.
Right.
And so that kind of, like, insulated a little bit more. So then it went from that So you had maybe a half to three quarters of an inch of protection.
Right.
So now you just have that thin layer of vinyl.
What
plastic,
are the, what is the age of the windows you have in this home?
They're 20 years old.
Yeah. I mean, and are still in good repair. They open and close and seal and everything.
Oh, yeah. They're double pane. They're fine.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, the thing is, if you're trying to warm the house up, what probably would make sense is adding some insulation into the walls. That's going to make a huge difference. And or if you have an unfinished attic space and you add additional insulation up there, that you'll really see a difference in the overall comfort of the home. But as far as the shingle issue that you're talking about, where you're seeing it lifting here and there, point that out to them now. You know, that while the roofers are still working now, their workload is a little bit less, and have them come back and fix that before we get into the dead of winter.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mario. I appreciate you hanging on and being patient with us. 7:46 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
And now, back to my dad, Lou Manfredini, on House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
She's the one with the nice closet. Welcome back. She's the one with the nice closet and the one that's in Mexico right now with her roommate. It's good to be Carmen. Hey, she's got her own job. None of my business how she spends her money. I just wish I was there, too. Are you thinking about holiday gifts for loved ones in your life and you're really not sure what to get? And you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, there's so many different things I could buy. Wouldn't it be great if I bought something, but then the money that I spent on that item actually gave back to someone else or some organization? Well, we have just the thing for you.
In just one moment.
When you're thinking about holiday gifts and you want to do something special and meaningful, then what you want to do is listen to this.
This weekend for holiday gift ideas, gifts that actually give back. Who knew there were so many out there that offer such cool stuff? We had a hard time choosing, but here are three hands-down awesome companies. The first was easy. Brian and Bradford Manning are two blind brothers. At a young age, they were diagnosed with an eye disease called Stargardt that destroys central vision over time. A disease someone near and dear to me was recently diagnosed with as well. You may have seen Brian and Bradford when they were featured on a little show called Ellen a couple years back. Two Blind Brothers is one of the fastest growing charitable clothing brands in the country, a luxury clothing project focusing on quality, comfort, and sense of touch. With a work crew of 70% that are blind or visually impaired, Two Blind Brothers donates 100% of its profits to researchers and the foundation Fighting Blindness to find cures for blindness. And right now they're offering their Shop Blind campaign, where they have taken down all the products' descriptions and images and asked the simple question, will you trust us? Trust is a huge part of being visually impaired, and they are trying to translate that into an e-commerce experience. You can visit them at twoblindbrothers.com. Next, by now you've probably heard of, or at least seen, the Love Your Melon hats. Love Your Melon was started in 2012 by two college guys whose original goal was to improve the lives of children battling cancer by putting a hat on every one of them. They started out as just knit hats, but have since expanded to scarves, headbands, candles, pillows, and apparel. Great quality stuff and really, really cute. The company donates 50% of all profits to charities working towards ending pediatric cancer and has given over $4.7 million to the cause to date. Starting at $30, find out more at loveyourmelon.com. And lastly, but certainly not least, Cuddle and Kind. After watching a documentary on childhood hunger, the Woodgate family of five decided to do something about it. Cuddle and Kind makes beautiful hand-knit dolls that help feed children. So, for every Cuddle and Kind doll sold, they give 10 meals to children in need. Available in a variety of characters, including Stella the polar bear, Wyatt the fox, Sebastian the lamb. They start at $50 on cuddleandkind.com. A video and links to all of these great companies are posted on Lou's Facebook page, so please, please check this out. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It's such a great collection of products that, in particular, I love the Love Your Melon hats, those beanies. You wore one coming in today. Such a high quality cap, right?
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where you want to wear it.
Right.
Right? And the Two Blind Brothers and their line, the softness of the material is one of those shirts that you would just never want to take off.
Right.
Yeah.
Based off of their sense, their biggest sense or their most important sense, touch.
Right.
So that's kind of how they made everything. And it really is awesome. And those Cuddle and Kind dolls, they're so cute. I've seen the way that they came across, or I found them, is on Instagram. They pop up, you know, those things.
Oh, yeah.
And so I kind of did some research on different ones that give back, and that Cuddle and Kind kept popping up in my search. And so I sent them all to you, and, you know, we kind of picked which ones were doing the most. But there were so many. It was so hard to pick. There's so many.
I think we talked about the Love Your Melon people maybe a couple years ago, right?
Right, they're just getting bigger and bigger.
Right, they're getting bigger, and their mission's getting bigger. And I remember we got some beanies, and I gave them to the girls, my girls, mm-hmm. and they love them. I mean, Mallory wears that hat all the time.
Right.
It's comfortable, and it's, you know, simple and stylish. And,
right, and now they've got blankets and these cool scarves.
Yeah, so check that all out. It's on our Facebook
really cool.
page. It's a great way to give back and do something unique for people in your life. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Bob in Chicago. Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Hi, Lindsay. Lou, before I ask my question, could I wish my lovely wife, Debbie, a happy birthday? She was celebrating her birthday yesterday, so thanks a lot for letting me do that.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, Debbie.
Thanks, Lou. I saw you pitching the snow dozer. And
on Channel 9.
I tried to look on the internet, and I'd like to get one. It would fit my need, and we tried. We can't find any place to get it.
So I'm always a little leery of doing this because, you know, I don't want to be self-serving, but that snow dozer literally is only available in two places in the United States, and they both happen to be our hardware stores. I found these people. It's made in Canada, the snow dozer. The internet, if you want to go there, the website is snowdozer.ca. However, our Edgebrook Ace Hardware, full disclosure, and our Villa Park Ace Hardware sell the snow dozers. And what they are, and we have them in stock. And what they are is, I do want to get one to the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm not going to give it to them. I want them to try it. It looks like if you took a ski and you turned it on its side, and then they put an aluminum frame behind it, and it's got an extendable, really high-quality pole. The idea behind the snow dozer is for that 2 to 4 inch snow that we typically get, you can clear an area so fast. And the ski has little wings on it just to collect the snow, and you can go clean it all up. That snow that we had a couple weeks ago wouldn't do that, too heavy, too wet. But on our everyday snow, this thing, I think, is going to be the cat's pajamas. It's a husband and wife team in, will you find out where in Canada? I want to say Quebec, but I don't think that's right. I think they're in Winnipeg, because I remember talking to them that the husband's a Jets fan. That's what it is.
Oh.
So I think they make them in Winnipeg. It's husband and wife. Literally, they're making these things in their garage. And I forget how this woman found me. And she goes, I want you to... So she sent me a sample. And they have zero distribution in the United States. The first time anybody saw that product on United States television was on Channel 9 on Friday with me. And the only two stores in Chicago currently that sell it is Edgebrook Ace Hardware and Villa Park Ace Hardware, which my wife and I both own, full disclosure. But you can also order online at snowdozer.ca.
Now, do you have the 44-inch blade?
I only have the one that I showed. So I think that one is the larger one.
Great, 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 great. Yeah. Hey, one last thing, Lou.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of yours, and would you, the next time you see Dean Richards, give him a punch in the nose for that nasty email he wrote about you?
No, I won't, but that's very nice. I'm a big fan of Dean Richards, too, and that don't worry, he did nothing wrong. We're all a big family here, and I've known Dean a long time, and so... Family business is family business. So I appreciate you listening, and go get a snow dozer.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Coming up, stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio with Don Klepping. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
list.
He's making a list.
Tracking it twice.
You gotta find out who's not your guys.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Welcome back, House Smarts Radio, with me, Lou Manfredini. This hour of our show is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Tom, who is in Andersonville. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Merry Christmas.
You too, sir. How can I help you?
I have an apartment building with a flat roof. And I have a small leak. I'm looking for a good contractor for that and a recommendation on cladding windows.
Cladding, okay, so you have existing, like, wood windows you want to clad up, or what do you got there?
Yeah, wood windows that I want to clad rather than paint.
Okay. Well, I think both contractors that I'm going to send you to give estimates from can help you with both of these items. One is Lindholm Roofing, okay, and the other is Rogers Roofing, and both of those companies can not only help you with the roof repair, but they also offer the ability to do the cladding on the outside windows.
Okay.
All right. And if you give them a call, you know, that way you can compare both of them, both very good companies. And, you know, the repair part might take a little bit. How many windows do we have to do?
17.
Oh, okay. So that's good. That's a good draw because, you know, for the small leaks right now, these roofers, what's happening with many of them now, they're really racing against the clock as far as, you know, getting the bigger projects done. But if you've got a larger project like that, mobilizing them to come and do the cladding, and then the roof repair should work out just fine.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. I'm going to pick up this phone here. I'm sorry, can you tell me your name, caller? It didn't come up on the screen there. What's your name?
It's John.
Hey, John, where are you calling from?
Calling from Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, I'll be right down. How can I help you, sir?
Yes. I got to ask Lou a question on winterizing my house back in Indiana.
You're talking to me right now.
Oh, hey Lou, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Sorry, it was we're having a little technical difficulty this morning, so I just had to pick you up there without knowing your name. So, first of all, how's the weather in Florida?
It's beautiful. It's going to be probably around 75 degrees and sunny today.
Just rubbing it in, rubbing it in. All right, what's your question?
Hey, I'm a snowbird out here, and I live in Valparaiso for the summertime. And when I leave my house in Valparaiso, I turn off the main water valve. And just want to know, should I open up the faucets and drain the water out of the pipes, or is it just good enough just to shut off the main water valve?
Yeah, I mean, you do leave the heat on, right?
Yes.
I leave
the heat on about 58 degrees.
Yeah. For me, if you're going to shut the main off just so you don't get any leaks, leave everything else in the line charged. You know, don't open up any valves, because a lot of times what happens if you open stuff up and drain it out, now you get air in there and that's where rust comes. So I'd rather keep the lines charged. Just turn the main off. You got somebody checking that house for you when you're away?
Well, I have Wi-Fi thermostat. I keep monitoring the temperature and that so I can.
Perfect.
Make sure it's still.
It's incredible, yeah. Right? This technology and how easy it is to kind of watch all that stuff now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Just shut the main off, put it at 58, 55 degrees, whatever it is. And, you know, as long as you have a way to monitor it, check it once a day or once a week, whatever it is, you're good to go. And I wouldn't worry about anything else, because if the heat goes, obviously then you're going to have to respond to it all. But there's really no reason to put any antifreeze or anything in the toilets or anything like that.
Okay, one other thing on the hot water heater. Should I turn off the hot water heater as far as turning off the gas valve on it, or should just keep it on a real low setting, the lowest setting I can?
On the water heater, depending, it's a tanked system?
Yes.
Okay. Does it have a vacation setting?
It has a low setting, yeah, which I guess consider vacation. Yeah.
I would put it, how long are you gone for?
Usually around 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be gone that far, shut the gas off to the whole tank. If you don't need that hot water for anything, and if it's an electronic ignition, in particular, if it's not anything you have to worry about for, lighting up a pilot light, I would just shut the gas off completely.
Okay. All right. That's what I'll do. I appreciate it, Luke.
Thank you for calling. Have a great time down there in Florida. I wish I was there as well, enjoying the warm weather. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
The Rams, we all know they're obviously one of the best teams. This won't be easy, but you know what? I've seen the Rams play, and they're not great. They're good. They're not great. We can play our A game, and we can beat them. And if we do, then we can control our own destiny.
The best Bears conversation. Half an OB with Kaz. This weekend, pre and post game. Before and after Bears-Rams.
Go Bears. We'll win. We will win Sunday night.
Tune in at 3 tomorrow on 720 WGN. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
I'm always getting asked what the best cleaners are for stone countertops. Now, whether you have granite, quartz, or any stone, Granite Gold has what you need to easily keep your counters looking better than any other cleaner. Granite Gold's products were created from 3 generations of stone care experts who have a passion for stone and how to keep it looking great. Their products are safe on food prep surfaces, non-toxic, non-acidic, and biodegradable. To learn more about Granite Gold and where to buy, visit GraniteGold.com. Granite Gold Stone Care products from the Stone Care experts.
If you funded your children's college education with student loans, then you need to call Team Hochberg. Gary took out $250,000 in student loans for his kids and was paying interest-only payments of $1,150 a month. Gary called to consolidate his student loans and was quoted a rate close to 7% and a payment close to $1,700 a month, which is nuts. So he called Team Hochberg for a free consultation. Team Hochberg loan expert Kevin Kochman helped Gary consolidate his student loans with a cash out refinance at a rate almost 2 points less than the student loan company, with a payment almost $600 a month less than the student loan company. If student loan debt is suffocating your cash flow, call Team Hochberg now at 312-751-1333. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of WGN listeners, but we can't help if you don't call 312-751-1333 or visit WGNDavid.com. Poro Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License T4358 and MLS 19186.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Are you hosting for the holidays? Get your carpets cleaned and looking new again. Call the pros at Executive Green Carpet Cleaning today. You'll be scheduled before Christmas. They're the best value in town. Executive Green's unique process leaves your carpet cleaner, softer, and drier, and they're certified by the Green Clean Institute. I don't know what it is they have in their special machines and their secret sauce, but I've used these folks several times, and it's just amazing how your carpets look brand new. Get 3 rooms cleaned for just $139. How are they making any money? Call Kelly and tell her that she needs to raise the prices. Before she does, call them now because it's only $139. 630-990-8600. That's 630-990-8600. Or you can schedule online at executivegreencarpetcleaning.com.
Just a minute. I have to tell you, I went to Menards.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of a guy in the paint section. And he said, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't give anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck.
Catch Living Healthy to Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN TV.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Chuck is in Chicago. Hey, Chuck, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Top of the morning to you, Lou.
You as well.
Yeah. So my question is, I've got a brick two flat in the basement, unfinished basement, the brick walls sitting on about a three-foot foundation. The brick walls are getting that efflorescent. Three sides of the basement are in good shape. They were painted a long time ago, but the north wall is always getting this issue, and I've always tried to scrape it and was wondering what's the latest thinking on removing it. Some say muriatic acid, some say vinegar, some say just scrape it off because you don't want to put any more moisture because it's going to draw out the salts. And then what would be a good way to seal it and repaint it?
That moisture is coming from the outside, and the reason you're experiencing it more on the north side is you don't get a lot of sun, and probably the soil and the, you know, the earth around there stays damp longer, and that drawing in of the salts through the brickwork and whatever is exactly right. That's what's happening. The muriatic acid will neutralize the salts and slow down the process. The issue with it is it's muriatic acid. And so what I have long advised people on this, Chuck, is to use CLR, which is actually lactic acid-based, and you can mix that 50-50 in a bucket of water, hot water, and CLR, you know, by a gallon of it, and then use a stiff, bristled brush, like a nylon brush, and just scrub it. And I don't want you to rinse it. I just want you to scrub the brick and, you know, really kind of work it into a froth and then just let it dry. And then when it's dry, then you're going to brush it off again. And the thing is, if you paint it with anything, that moisture is still going to come in there. And if you trap it with anything, it will bubble down the line. But it's one of the things you're going to probably do once a year to kind of clean it up. What is okay. What's the overall condition of the mortar in between the bricks?
You know, I had a tuck pointer doing some work outside, and he made repairs. The overall, it's spotty, so it's just some spot repointing or tuck pointing that was needed, but it's basically in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Good. I would rather. Do you need to paint it aesthetically or no?
No, I kind of like the look of the unfinished brick, but I was wondering if instead of painting it, putting on, you could buy these sealers. They say that they're for that kind of a thing. They says it will help with that efflorescence, but it goes back to your point of sealing the wall. It's still going to, if there's a little moisture coming from the outside and it's weeping in,
right.
It's not going to really help anything.
No. It's not. And I mean, the one thing that could help in that area is clean it all up, like I mentioned, have a little spot tuck pointing done. If you run a dehumidifier, in particular in the early spring and summer, that will help reduce the moisture level inside the home and in that basement area too, and that will slow it down a little bit. But I think that with older foundations like that and the moisture on the outside, the only way to permanently stop it would be to dig up the outside of your foundation and put some sort of membrane out there. That makes no sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Clean it all up once a year. You know, do this little cleaning and keep the moisture level down inside the basement. And that's your, like, yearly maintenance on the thing.
All right. Great. Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. Let's talk to another Chuck who's in Bolingbrook. Hey, Chuck, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I purchased about 3 years or 4 years ago, I guess, now a Weber gas grill, a propane gas grill, and I recently moved to a home that has a gas line on the exterior, a natural gas line.
Right.
And I'm wondering if I can convert my current propane grill into a natural gas grill.
You cannot. Weber does.
Come on, really?
Weber does not offer a conversion kit.
Right.
other manufacturers do, but Weber does not. And go ahead.
That's not fun. Because you guys sell a lot of Weber grills at your place, correct?
We do, and this is something that Weber made a conscious decision about. As a retailer, none of us like it because the issue becomes, you know, when you're as a retailer, you know, you buy these things and you try and, you know, estimate how many propane grills you'll have versus natural gas. And because that's what Weber does, that old grill that you have does not offer a conversion kit.
Okay.
So you
it's propane for me.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, you know, and the thing is that I got to tell you, you said it's only 3 years old?
Yes.
Yeah. Once you go to the natural gas and you never have to deal with the propane tank is awesome, but it seems kind of crazy with a 3 year old grill to just say I'm going to get another one. Now, you know, there is a marketplace for used Weber grills. I mean, you could sell that on eBay and probably get a pretty good price if it's in decent shape and then upgrade to a natural gas grill, but you know, you just have to decide whether you want to do all that. But Weber does not offer a conversion kit on those older grills.
Oh, that's a shame. Because, you know, I've looked online and there's different ways to do it, and I thought, well, this doesn't apply to my grill that I'm aware of.
Right, right. It's just a conscious thing that they do as a manufacturer and have for many, many years. You got to go one way or the other, and it's, you know, and from their perspective, it's a safety concern because they worry about people doing that conversion and not doing it right and causing a fire. And, it is a realistic concern if you're the manufacturer, not to expose, you know, anybody to a liability if it went wrong. Sorry about that.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that Fix-It guy, right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Over the horizon, smooth sailing, he's counting the seas. Now she headed east down the boulevard.
Welcome back.
Said I like the way.
Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. I mentioned to you at the top of the show that we were going to be joined by Julie Yurko, who is the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank. And Julie joins us right now. Julie, good morning. Happy holidays.
Good morning. Happy holidays to you, too.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I really do appreciate it. You and I have had a chance over the years to talk about the Northern Illinois Food Bank. And, you know, I know I say this every time we talk. I really want you to be out of a job because I don't want there to be a food bank, but we need it. And
that is true.
Right?
We do need it. And there are neighbors that are always going to need a little help. And we are so privileged to be here to help them.
35th anniversary and a member of Feeding America. You know, I think that I know that when you and I have spoken, lots of people want to talk to you this time of year because it's kind of people's minds kind of shift. But the reality of it is what you do is a 365-day-a-year project.
That is true, that year-round, our neighbors are struggling with making ends meet. So for us, we serve the suburbs of Chicago, and we go out into the rural areas. Three-quarters of our families are working, but they're just not making enough so that they can pay all of their expenses, their housing, transportation, their health, and their groceries. And so every day, they are doing some crisis management and figuring out how to stretch their dollar. And thankfully, we have over 900 feeding sites across our 13 counties. They can go there and they can get wonderful, fresh, nutritious meals and groceries.
Give us a snapshot. You said that most of these families are working, but give me the snapshot of the average family that benefits from your work. I mean, who are they? Are they a family of four? Are they a family of one? Or, you know, who are they?
It's a variety. It's a variety of families. What we know through some of our data is that many of them are living with multiple generations in a home. Many of them are working with multiple jobs. And many of our families, about half of them, are dealing with some kind of chronic illness. And all of those factors contribute to the fact that they're not able to stretch their resources to meet their family's needs.
Hmm. Founded in 1982 by Sister Rosemary Burian. Is that right?
That is correct.
Tell me a little bit about that, the start of that, and how that all happened.
Sure. So we were founded by Sister Rosemary, and she is a Franciscan nun. She is still with us. She lives here in Wheaton. And she talks about meditating one morning and having this idea that there, she knew that there were people suffering right here in Wheaton without enough to eat. And she had started volunteering at a food pantry, and she knew there was enough food, but we just needed to get more. And so she is, she has wonderful gumption in spirit, and she said, we can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she will talk about going out and sharing that story and being told, oh, Sister Rosemary, please don't bring that here, right? You're going to change our property values. It was a negative thing. But she kept persevering, and she found four individuals who said, okay, yeah, let's go. And so she found a very small warehouse on Easy Street that someone was willing to donate to her, and she started a food bank. Sister Rosemary, who she will say had no business starting a food bank, started a food bank, distributing about 64,000 pounds in their first year.
Wow.
That now grew to our food bank, and we distributed nearly 80 million pounds last year.
Wow. And the boy, those nuns are very persuasive.
They really are. And powerful. They are so powerful.
It's amazing. So I have two questions. If someone is a family in need, how do they contact you? How do they benefit from what it is you're trying to provide?
Sure. Couple messages for those folks. First of all, we're here, and there is enough food. There is enough food, and we want to be able to help bridge that gap for them. So they can come to our website, which is solvehungertoday.org, and there is a Get Groceries button, and they can click there, and that will take them to a list of different opportunities to get food. It will also take them to a map where they can enter in their zip code, and they can find all the food pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters in their area. So we really encourage folks, especially during the holidays, when we are all stretching our dollars for the holiday expenses, please come and allow us to relieve some of that stress. That would be our privilege, our pleasure.
And are you working with other food banks, too? In other words, are you almost like a supply point for other food banks and distribution centers? Or are all those yours under your helm as well?
Sure. So we are a member of Feeding America. So there are 200 food banks across the country. We all serve food pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters. And those are separate 501 or nonprofit organizations.
Right.
But they are a member of our food banks. And so we have about 900 of those feeding sites across our 13 counties. And it would be, I would describe it as a partnership where they will place orders with us and we will bring them out all the groceries that they need to deliver. We will also have some feeding sites that we manage where we'll send fresh, nutritious meals for our kids and our seniors.
So you're really a combination of volunteers, but obviously you have people that work for you as well, you know, that are employees. How many people are we talking? In other words, you know, when we, especially this time of year, I would imagine that where the need is really substantial, and again, the focus is there. I mean, how many people are working on a daily basis with the food bank and all this distribution?
Sure. We have a team at the food bank. We have four locations across our 13 counties, and that team consists of about 130 individuals that are paid employees of the food bank. However, throughout the course of the year, we have about 25,000 unique individuals that will come and visit us and will volunteer with us to help us process the food. That adds, the hours that they donate adds about 60 full-time employees to the food bank team, which is really incredible, which tells you we really can't do this without volunteers.
Yeah, right. You need, I mean, right. And what a, what a great opportunity to really kind of see, you know, your efforts to be able to whether it's packaging or delivering, however you use them, to be able to really fill that need of people that just need to eat, which is just such a basic thing, right? It's so needed. I mean, there's no question about it. So now people are listening and they're like, boy, you know, I got to help these people out. How do we do that? How do we get people to pick up the phone or go onto the website and help out?
We would love that. We would love that. And I promise that folks are going to have a ton of fun as well. They're going to come. They're going to fill. Their soul will be filled. We fill bellies. We fill souls. And so folks can, again, go to solvehungertoday.org. And there is a volunteer or a donate button, and you can simply click on that and learn more about how you can come volunteer with us or you can invest in us. We would be so grateful, especially now, because thanks to the Mark and Maureen Miller Foundation, every dollar given to us through December 31st, up to $100,000 will be matched by that foundation, so they'll be able to double their impact.
Wow. So maybe there's someone listening that has $100,000 that they need to do something with before the end of the year. They could go right now and say, hey, I heard you talking on House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini, and I want to give you $100,000. You would be,
that would be amazing.
You would be okay with that?
I would be way okay with that. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
Right. So if there's anybody listening that has, well, you know, it was funny. Lindsay and I were driving in this morning, and we were just talking about, well, she was talking, I was listening. And at some point, I got to say something in the conversation, and she's not even listening now. You're not listening. I said, we drove in today, and we were talking, and I said, actually, you were talking, and I was listening. But, you know, there is Virgin Atlantic is going to send people into space.
Yes.
And people are lined up to go into space, and they're putting down $250,000 in order to do this.
Oh.
And they don't have enough. In other words, there are more people than they can take into space. And we were just commenting, like, gosh, there's so much money in the world. If there's someone listening that put down the $250 to go into space, can you go to solvehungertoday.org and just give them $100,000? And then you can talk about that with your astronauts when you go into space.
In space.
Right? So I'm just throwing that challenge out there. Keep me posted to see if we get that $100,000 for you.
I'll let you know. I will also say, though, if someone
has $25.
You know, a lot of us don't have $100,000,
exactly, right?
Right. But if someone is willing, even a dollar, if you invest a dollar in the food bank, that allows us, it helps us provide about $8 worth of groceries for our hungry neighbors. So a dollar, $5, $10, it matters.
It's
$100,000 would be great,
right.
But a dollar is really important, too.
And Julie, you make such a great point because, you know, I get involved with a lot of different organizations, and I talk to them about the money that they need to, whether it's the Northern Illinois Food Bank, or it's Misericordia, or it's Have Dreams, or all these organizations that, you know, that obviously maybe there's some state money there, but they also have to come up with all this private fundraising. And a lot of people think that, oh, well, I can't give. I don't have, you know, $500 or $200 to give. And it is incredible. Every single organization will say, gosh, if you have $5 or $10, you have no idea the impact that that can have. And all of a sudden, if 1,000 people gave $10, do the math, right? And and we have a lot of people listening, and it's such an easy thing to do, and it has such a huge impact. Julie Yurko is the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank, celebrating their 35th anniversary, and they need your help, whether it's to volunteer or to donate and be a part of the solution to feed families all across the Chicagoland area. The website, again, solvehungertoday.org. Julie, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope you have a happy holiday, and I hope you guys continue to do the great work that you do.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really awesome. I mean, the whole idea is to feed someone, and it's incredible to me to think about that the vast majority of people are working people that just can't get quite enough. And that little bit of help, that $10, that whatever, or that $100,000 that I would like. Someone could just do that, it would really be nice. Just to, you know, wow, we talked about it and the guy gave $100,000. It's just $100,000. We'll be right back.
Looking for some help this morning on your home improvement project?
How handy of a guy are you, Tom? Tom, are you still there?
You've got a question, he's got a solution.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. Your how-to.
Your go-to handyman. It's Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Help me down, but I got
up. Get ready, because I've had. Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I got the eye of the dog. Paula's in Naperville. Hi, Paula. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good morning, Lou.
Morning.
Here's my question. I have to get new siding on my house,
It'll be vinyl siding. And my question is, do I have to wait till spring till the temperature is more moderated or what?
No, not at all. I mean, siding on your home can be done any time of year. There's no reason you couldn't get estimates now to have that done. And you'd probably get a better price because the crews aren't as busy doing this as they would be in early spring. I mean, don't be surprised if, you know, you were trying to get an estimate now, they probably couldn't get there till after the first of the year. I mean, here we are in December already, but you absolutely could do it now. What kind of siding do you have on your home currently?
It's aluminum because the house was built in like 1980.
Okay. So they're going to take that off?
Yeah. And then obviously I still put on house wrap because...
Yeah, right. Right, right, right. And what's the condition of your windows in your home?
Oh, I had windows replaced about 2, 7, 8 years ago,
oh,
so we're good.
Yeah, so then they take the aluminum off, they give you a little wrap around the home, some Tyvek or Typar, whatever it may be, and then new vinyl mm-hmm. siding, finish it all off. You absolutely can do that in the winter, no problem.
No kidding. Wow, that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's great.
You got your marching.
All I need now is a scholarship to pay for it, right?
Right, exactly. So that's the other part of it all. You need the money to pay for it, but you know, that's part of the whole thing, right? So I appreciate the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That is Linda in Long Grove. Linda, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Just want to know if you can recommend a company or how I can do it to clean the grout on my kitchen floor. It's a 20-year-old house.
You're in Long Grove. There is a company, there's like a chain or franchise called, I believe, the Grout Doctor. And this is what they do. They either clean it or they remove it and replace it. And there's several locations around the Chicagoland area. And so if you just go to the website, groutdoctor.com, I believe it is, plug in your zip code, they can come out and do that.
Okay, and that's fine taking out the old and replacing it.
Is it ceramic tile?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and is it in good repair?
It is. It's in good shape. It's really only the area, you know, where I prep stuff, you know, by the sink and stuff. The rest looks brand new, so it's not really the whole floor that needs to be redone.
Yeah, no, they'll come in and they'll remove it all and clean up the floor for you and put down a... What color was the grout originally?
A pale gray.
Yeah, and are you going to stick with something like that as well as opposed to a white?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that too because on a floor,
yeah,
those lighter colors are just kind of a you know, just problematic to keep clean. So yeah, they can get, it'll look great. I mean, they'll do a nice job for you. It's all they do, and you know, they'll do some repair if you need it. But I would call them and get an estimate and see what it's going to run you.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Linda. I appreciate you calling.
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't.
Whatever's making you scratch your head this weekend, Lou is here to help.
We've got a problem with black mold.
That ain't deep in my living room.
My furnace.
It's humming.
Just give him a call. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
At the stars tonight, and I think,
welcome back. Boys, at 9:20, we're going to do a little wine tasting, so clear your palates.
Woo! Whining.
They moved me into another studio, so it's a little bit longer walk. Actually, I don't think it is, actually. For Joe, it is. Come down and see me in a little bit. This hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Ace Hardware, 312-981-7200. This is Yvonne in Northbrook. Hey, Yvonne.
Hi, Lou. Spilled some bleach on my black slate by my toilet. Is there something I can... The whole entryway is all slate. Is there any product?
Black slate, you put the bleach on the top.
There's some bleach that dropped on it, yeah.
Do you know if that bleach, maybe it was the sealer on top that we've changed the color on?
you mean?
Well,
it, maybe. Well, it came it, now. If there's a spot there,
okay.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Let's try this. Here's what I want you to try. Are they little spots, or is it like a large stain?
A ring, a ring.
Okay.
It's like a ring. I think that the bleach bottle said on it.
I got it. Okay. Do you have any? Do you have any olive oil?
Okay. I got a pen. Yeah, I got olive oil.
You do? Is it extra virgin?
There's some.
Okay. I want you to put a little bit of that. I want you to put a little bit of that on a paper towel, and I want you to go wipe up that ring and see if we can cover it up by putting a little oil on there. You could use I always choose olive oil because I'm Italian, but you could use mineral oil. You could use vegetable oil. But my guess is if you did that, you'd probably cover up that stain and just put a little bit on and then wipe it away and see if that changes the look.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. A lot of times what happens when you get, especially Slate has a sealer, and sometimes you'll get that discoloration just from the sealer on the top. And then that's the part that stains. And you could strip that off, but if you do a little olive oil on top, you'll blend it into the stone, and you won't even know it's there. Who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah.
That's a great tip.
Yeah. So I learned this
You should do this for business.
I should. I don't make this stuff up. Who was I just talking to? I ran into some guy somewhere, and he goes, hey, permaseal.net.
You know what it is. House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. Liz is in Highland. Liz, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm glad I got you.
Me too. How can I help you?
Okay. I've lived in this house for 34 years. I've never had this problem. And I have a yard, and I was working out in the yard when I came in around that time, June, July, and I just threw my clothes, the dirty clothes. And like the next day, I washed them, and the next day, I find something was biting me. And so I looked around, and I seen a little black, some black things, and I cleaned it up, and then I saw different kinds of insects. So I took, long story, I took that real fast. I took them to show them to one of the places that does the insects. They didn't know what it was. It was a young girl, so I'm not sure. Well, I continued on cleaning, and I had somebody come in, and we bombed it four times. And as I looked online, and they're all different kinds, and they were called no-see-ums.
No-see-ums.
But there's another name to them. It's a longer name.
Okay.
And you're
still having this problem in your home?
Yes. They say they'll be outside, and they just, I guess, just stay somewhere, and then they, in the spring, then they come to again. Well, I just want them out of the house. I guess they could be... someone could come and do the outside somehow, because I can't. And they still bite.
Okay.
I still have them, but I have less.
Do you have them? Do you have them in the house currently?
I do.
Okay. And is it located to a specific area, like your kitchen, or is it where is it?
It'll be dead on the kitchen floor, and then I in the bed. I take the bed apart, wash the sheets, hot water, put them back on, vacuum. I used to vacuum three times a day the house.
Okay.
And I'm still having them, and I'm just so, it makes me actually sick. I don't know what to do.
All right, two things I want you to try.
Okay.
One is, because the no-see-ums are they're a cousin to the fruit fly. So I want you to go to the hardware store, and I want you to get a couple of packages of fruit fly traps from Terro, T-E-R-R-O, okay?
Okay.
Then I also want you to, and so you're going to set those out in the kitchen and even a couple of them in the bedroom. And there's like a little attractant you're going to put there. There's also a company called Dyna Trap.
Dinah D?
D-Y-N-A. D-Y-N-A. Dinah Trap.
Trap.
That's a plug-in attractant for flying insects, and it has a little sticker board on the back. You can plug one of those in the kitchen, and you can plug one in your bedroom, and it's going to leave a little glow of light, and it's going to attract them in there. The two combinations of those things should be able to help you eliminate this problem. And if you stay after it and do a little vacuuming, like you said, I realize it's, you know, it's problematic, and I understand that it's exhausting to have to deal with this. But if you go at it with these two products, I think that within a couple of days, you probably will have the issue solved. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:33 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News.
You know the age-old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix
it. We have old windows, so the cat's broke.
But if it is broke, you can always call Lou.
I have a storm door with a screen rip. Could that be replaced?
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. John Hansen filling in for John Williams this morning ahead of Northwestern pregame. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Colin is in Albany Park. Hey, Colin.
Hey, Lou. Good morning. How are you?
Well, how can I help you, sir?
So I've got a question. Our door to my condo building is leaking some water after that snowstorm we had where the wood frame meets the trim. And I can't seem to figure out where it's coming from.
Did we have snow piled up along the building?
Yeah, so the door has a stone mantle above it. It's a brick building with a stone mantle above the entryway, and then it's a glass door with an aluminum frame.
Okay. And the water was leaking around the aluminum frame?
No, from the wood trim, so above the door frame, where the door attaches to the entryway.
Okay, so brick entryway, like a limestone header over the top, some type of stone limestone header.
Yeah.
And the trim is below that. Is the trim recessed in from the plane of that stone top, or is it flush?
Yes. No, it's recessed inside of the building.
Okay. And when you're looking up at that stone that is above it, do you happen to notice, is the horizontal plane of the stone header flat, or does it have a little groove in it about a half an inch back from the face?
On the bottom, yes.
It does have
it
a little groove.
Groove in it.
Okay, so that's a drip edge to cause it not to come back in, so it doesn't drip back in there. But you're saying that the leak was coming from the top.
Correct.
Hmm.
Yeah, I checked, the drywall above it, and there used to be a light fixture, and I pulled that, the cover off to check inside the wall. There's no water above it. It's just, right where the trim meets the entryway.
Okay, and what does that caulking look like?
On the outside?
Yeah.
I didn't see anything, when I looked on top of the mantle. I couldn't see any cracks that were visible or anything like that.
And it does appear to be caulked?
Yes.
Okay, and do you have the ability to get up on a little ladder to see what the condition of that masonry, that limestone header, to look up above it where the brick meets the limestone? Have you been able to inspect that?
Yeah, and I couldn't see anything noticeable that would, cause concern for me.
Right. And how long have you lived in the building?
It's about 2 years now.
And is this the first time you've noticed this?
Yeah, and the other tenants have been there for 10 years, and they've never seen this happen before either.
Right. One of the things, okay, so let's back up a little bit. That last snowstorm that we had, started with a lot of rain and a lot of blowing rain. And so it obviously has to be some type of breach, and it can be ever so slightly, but when it's concentrated and the wind is blowing, that's where it comes into. Now, the fact that you have that drip edge underneath there, that's good because that groove is designed so when water comes down and it kind of creates the sheeting action, when it hits that groove, it doesn't allow it to keep coming back and then connect to the wood and come in. So then it just drips down the face. I would check very closely about the caulking around the perimeter of that trim, not only the trim caulked to the brick opening, but the trim caulked to the jamb of the door. And then up above, yep, where the limestone meets the brick, you know, even look a little bit above there. If there's a little crack or separation in some mortar that is there from a, it may need a little bit of tuck pointing just to tighten it up a little bit, because that's all you need. If you look up there at a couple of those bricks and you see a hairline crack between the brick and the mortar, in a driving rain, that's all you need. And so if you're going to try and repair this yourself, you know, if you're like, oh, wow, look at that. I see this little crack in there. What could I do? It's as easy as using something like a latex clear caulking to fill that in and use your finger to kind of press it in there just to get you to buy you some time for the winter so it seals up. And then maybe it's something you address in the springtime with a tuck pointer to do a little more extensive tuck pointing on the face of this.
All right, perfect. That's exactly what I needed to know.
You're a good man. Take care. I appreciate you calling this morning. 9:45 in the morning, 312-981-7200. This is Kristen in Chicago. Hey, Kristen, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We have a wasp situation. We noticed it in the summer. There's a light on our siding, and behind the light, wasps were getting in, and we never took care of it during the summer. And so now we're wondering what we need to do to take care of it in the winter and hope that it's not an issue in the spring.
You have a light fixture. They're behind, so they're actually nesting in the light fixture?
There's a little hole where the light fixture, they're getting in behind the light fixture. It looks like underneath the siding.
Okay.
And then I found one in my crawl space inside, so I'm thinking like they can get through into the house,
right,
too.
Right. Okay. You probably should address it now because there could be some dormant ones in there, and then they could be kind of hibernating a little bit and working their way in. So where that hole is, if you go by a foaming wasp and hornet spray.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to buy one that has a little extension tube that you can put on the end of the sprayer.
Mm-hmm.
And go in that hole and let that foam and fill up like that. And I want you to do it 2 consecutive days in a row.
Okay.
So there's residual value there. You know, you're going to overfill it a little bit. And then that'll be a treatment there. And in the springtime, early spring, pay attention to it and hit it again a couple times before things start to warm up to make sure that they go somewhere else.
Okay, sounds great.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it. 9:47 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines now. Here is Herb in Palatine. Hey, Herb, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you?
My question for you could be very easy. My son, who lives here in Palatine, in the last rain and snow, his flat roof on the back of his house has developed a leak somewhere. So far, he has been unsuccessful in getting a roofer to even respond to a telephone call.
Mm.
So we're wondering if you have someone that's responsible enough to maybe answer a call to come out and look and see what needs to be done.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, I've got 2 very good sponsors that are part of the show and a part of WGN Radio in Rogers Roofing and Lindholm Roofing. And
okay, and
if you have your son, contact either one of those. They should be pretty responsive to call him back. So Rogers Roofing and Lindholm Roofing would be 2 of the folks that I would contact. And, you know, it's, as I mentioned earlier, we were talking about roofers and what's going on. You know, they're all trying to race to get the big jobs done, but they're going to need these smaller jobs. And I think that both of those companies have enough bandwidth to help you out and can help your son out. Herb, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go to Lockport, where Rudy's on the line. Rudy, You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. My husband and I had a one-story house built last year. We moved in October, and the builders have like this one-year warranty where they come and inspect and see what our needs might be.
Right.
Well, we have at least, I don't know, 8 to 12 cracks in the drywall, like the ceiling, like the corners of the drywall, and also several nail pops. Well, they said, oh, well, you know, we'll repair those, but we won't paint them. But they haven't gotten around to doing it yet, and I'm afraid that they're my concern is that it will affect, the cracks will grow really wide, they won't make the repairs, and it will affect the foundation. Is that, I mean, it's a new home. We lived in our old home for 32 years, so, which was an old home. Mm-hmm. So I'm unfamiliar with new home building.
Well, I mean, the reality of a new home and drywall cracks and nail pops is that's a common occurrence, and typically the builder will come back, as you mentioned, and take care of those kinds of things at the end. Now, I'm a little surprised they say they're not going to paint it. I mean, that type of settling, you know, I don't know what kind of contract you had to have this home built, but they should come back and they should make these repairs, and they should paint the repairs too. I mean, if it was a house that I built and we were in the warranty, that would be part of our deal. I mean, it seems kind of crazy that that they wouldn't be painting that. Now, to your point of that they're not going to come back, when are you at your one-year thing?
Well, they had a sign off at 11 months. Well, we didn't sign off, but we had the inspection from the builders. And, you know, there were other issues like caulking. I wanted them to re-caulk by the sides of the bathtubs. There were cracks, but they were real hesitant. So it was 1 year in September, and, you know, I know it's been a few months, but I don't know. They just seem to not be getting back to us. So
I mean, I don't want you to get involved with, like, a lawyer and that kind of stuff at this point. It's crazy, but I would make sure that you have a clear level of conversation and communications with them to say, you know, you need to have like a little paper trail with these builders and with these folks to say if September was a year, you know, did they say in September when they were going to come back and do that?
Well, we talked to a representative. I talked to her last week, and she said, oh, I'm going to have the supervisor contact you. And she hadn't yet. And I know it's only been a week, but I thought, well, I love your show, by the way, and I thought, Lou, so reliable.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say. Here's what I would do is start you doing everything via email, not just phone calls, because you need a little bit of a paper trail. And so if you have this person's email, I would say, dear, you know, so-and-so, thanks so much for, you know, the conversation last week. You had mentioned you're going to have a supervisor call you. We signed off on our punch list on September. Blah, 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 you know, that, you know, we're hoping to get this rectified by, can you give me a date when this is going to be done? And that's what I would do. And so you got to start putting deadlines on it so that they can react to that. And then you have some sort of email trail. So if things go south, you know, it's not like, well, no, they never called or I never spoke to them. And you need to get responses from them via those emails. To make sure that gets done. And just, you know, hey, if you're in this business, get off your butt and go get it done. It's that simple. It's not that big of a deal. Thanks so much for the phone call. Thank you, Ro, and thank you all for listening to House Smarts Radio this Saturday morning. Strolling into the studio is John Hansen, who is in for John Williams for just like a snapshot.
Yeah, just a quick little show, like 45 minutes, in and out, easy peasy. We're going to be talking with the folks of Block Club Chicago. They're a local news website. They're having a big fundraiser, and we're going to talk about why local journalism is really important. We have to talk about, you know, national news and all this stuff, but it's the neighborhood button by neighborhood stories that are really fascinating. They do great work. We're going to chat about them. And also, not to bring it down a little bit, but we're 60 years and now a week since the Our Lady of the Angels fire.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually going to be chatting with an author who wrote a new book about it and one of the survivors of the fire, about the legacy, the importance, and what we've learned from that. And thankfully and hopefully, never experience something like that again.
Sounds good. Yeah. Stay tuned for John Hansen coming up.